If you will, let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Romans again, chapter 8. Today we're talking about prayer. This afternoon is Carmel Village Ministry for senior citizens down there. And I'm going to be taking Justin's place today. And the topic is prayer. So if you want to double dip on prayer sermons, you can come and join us at Carmel this afternoon. Prayer. Such an easy thing to do. Or is it? Or is it maybe one of the most difficult things to do? Rightly. Our verses this morning, taken from Romans 8, verses 26 and 27, says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We've been talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, his working in our lives. And as we look at this passage today, the very first thing we see is that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. You ever realize and recognize your weakness as a Christian? Maybe there's more than one. Maybe there's many. Maybe it's your whole Christian life. Well, true, apart from the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, our whole life is weak. The only one who can live the Christian life is the Holy Spirit. And yet we have to live it. But we live it by his power and his leading and guiding in our lives. Back in chapter 8, verse 9, it says the Holy Spirit dwells in us who are believers. And if the Holy Spirit is not dwelling in us, we're not a Christian. And then in verse 11, the Holy Spirit is the one who gives life to our mortal bodies. And in verse 13, the Holy Spirit helps us to put to death the deeds of the body. And in verse 14, it says that as sons of God, the Holy Spirit is the one who's leading us. And in verse 15, it says the Holy Spirit is the one who helps us to cry out to the Father in heaven, Abba, Father. And in verse 16, the Holy Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God. And now, here in verse 26, likewise it says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. So here's more about the ministry of the Holy Spirit on our behalf as Christians. We have a weakness. The word means an infirmity, a lack of strength. It's a result of the fall of mankind. It can speak of spiritual or physical weakness. We saw last week that the whole creation is groaning, waiting for its redemption. And then it said that we, in our bodies, are groaning as well in verse 23. We groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. So we are weak and we are groaning physically and spiritually. But here it says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we don't know what to pray for as we ought. We have a weakness in prayer. It says, we don't know what to pray. That's interesting, isn't it? Well, I know what to pray. I got all kinds of needs, and I just tell God. Well, that's not what it says here. It says, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. That's a little different. There's a way that we ought to pray, and there's a way that we sometimes pray. But the way that we sometimes pray is a weakness in our prayer, and we need help. And the help comes from the Holy Spirit. We do not know what to pray for as we ought. We do not know what is necessary for the nature of the case, what is fitting. Even the Apostle Paul knew this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he cried out to the Lord. The Apostle Paul did. He cried out to the Lord and he said, "Lord, I have a messenger from Satan that is buffeting me. Take it away." And you may have prayed the same prayer. "Lord, it seems like there's a messenger from Satan buffeting me. Please take him away." And Paul didn't hear anything. And nothing changed. And so Paul said again, "Lord," maybe louder, I don't know, maybe softer. Didn't say. Just says he prayed a second time. "Lord, I got this messenger of Satan to buffet me. Would you please take him away? Would you remove him? I don't need this in my life." God didn't take it away. A third time he said, "Lord," I don't know if it had been, if this is what Paul did, because it doesn't say, but if it had been me, I might have said, "Lord, are you listening? Lord, have I got your attention yet? Am I doing something wrong, keeping us from communicating here? Something messing things up? Lord, I need this messenger of Satan to be removed." And after three times, God said, "Paul, I'm not taking it away." Wow. He says, "But I got good news. The good news is my grace is sufficient for you." Wow. That's it. Even Paul didn't know how to pray as he ought. He ought to pray, "Lord, this is a real struggle, but your grace is sufficient for me." But he prayed, "Lord, take it away." I show this humanity, right? That's what we all would pray. "Lord, please take it away." God says, "My grace is sufficient. You're going to be an overcomer." That's the real answer. And this is so much of the time, we don't know exactly how we're supposed to be praying about something. I trust that you do like I do sometimes. You're praying, "Lord, lead me how to pray. Show me what to pray." And so we're acknowledging our weakness. That apart from God teaching us how to pray, actually not how, teaching us what to pray, that's what this is about here, what to pray, we don't know. So the answer is that the Holy Spirit intercedes. So likewise the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So the first point, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. The second point is the way he does it is he intercedes for us. And literally it's he himself, it's not itself. He's a person, and it's a he himself. And notice back there at the beginning of that verse, it said the Spirit helps us. Now, when I'm working on a project that I'm not very good at, I might ask someone to come and help me. But my motive might be I want them to do it for me because I don't know how to do it. Well, that's not true help. That's doing it for you. Helping you would be like someone holding the ladder while you're climbing up to do something. They're helping you. The Holy Spirit says here, he's helping us. That means we still have to do the praying. Okay? It's still our responsibility to pray. The scripture says, pray without ceasing. We have to pray. But he helps us. He helps us in our weakness because we don't know what to pray for as we ought. That word help is very interesting. You know, help is a really short word, help. The Greek word that's translated help is a compound word made up of three Greek words. Isn't that amazing? The first word is the word sun, S-U-N, means together, like in a symphony. They're all playing together. The second word in this compound word is anti, A-N-T-I, which means over against, usually. And the third word, lambano, means to take or to receive. But when you put all three of those together, the picture, the word picture means someone coming and helping someone with a heavy load. Something's too big for you to do, and they come out and they come and help you. Lloyd-Jones put it this way. He said it means to be rescued by one who happens on one who is in trouble and helps him. Yes, the Holy Spirit is there to help us. We praise God for that. So the Holy Spirit is helping. He doesn't do it all. We're still praying, but He's helping us. And so we need an intercessor, and the reason we need one is because we do not know what to pray as we ought. Now, a question might arise in your mind. Well, I thought the Lord Jesus Christ interceded for us. I wonder how many of you were thinking that. What do we need the Holy Spirit's intercession for? We have Jesus Christ interceding for us. Yes. The Holy Spirit is interceding before the Father for us, it says. He ever lives to make intercession for us. Praise God for that. But here is the Holy Spirit interceding within us. There's a parallel work going on at the same time. So we have the help of the Godhead working on our behalf. Praise God, as believers, we're not without help, are we? Praise God for that. Well, how does the Holy Spirit intercede for us? It says, He intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. They're groanings that can't be spoken. Now, different people have taken this in different ways. Some think it means that he is taking our groanings and taking them before the Father and straightening them all out and making them understandable according to the will of God. That's a possibility. Or is it just something within the Trinity that's happening and it's not a part of us? I liked what one writer wrote. He says, God searches the hearts of believers and finds unutterable longings to conform their lives to the will of God. And the Holy Spirit takes these groanings and presents them before God in an articulate form. Even though believers cannot specify their request to God adequately, since they do not know His will sufficiently, the Holy Spirit translates these groanings and conforms them to God's will. They are groanings without words. They're wordless groanings. Too deep for words, it says. This is not spoken words. Perhaps you can realize it sometimes just within you. You just fall before God and you're inwardly groaning. You don't know what to pray. You might even be like Hannah, almost trying to mouth some things, but there's nothing out loud. You just don't know what to say. You're crying to God from your heart. Some people have somehow tried to equate this with speaking in tongues. This is not speaking in tongues because there's nothing spoken. How could it be speaking in tongues? It's the Holy Spirit interceding for us according to the will of God. Prayer is supposed to always be according to the will of God. When you pray in Jesus' name, amen. When you do that, what you're saying is, or you should be saying, I want everything that I've now just prayed to be in agreement with who Jesus is. That's what it means. Okay? I want everything that I just prayed to be in agreement with what Jesus is. So Lord, interpret it right and get it right, because I don't want anything else wrong. I want it to be in Jesus' name. I want it to be in agreement with Him. I want it to be according to His will. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, we have a very encouraging verse. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "And this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of Him." Praise God. We're praying according to the will of God because the Holy Spirit is interceding for us. That's what we want. That's what we want. Sometimes we even add in our prayers, don't we? "Lord, if it be your will." Okay? That's always a good part to it too. We want God to direct us into His perfect will. So Jesus Christ is our advocate with the Father. The Holy Spirit is our advocate within us, who also advocate with the triune God. But the third thing we want to notice here in verse 27 is that the Father knows the mind of the Holy Spirit. Verse 27, "And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit." Who's the searcher of hearts? In Jeremiah 17:9, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" In the next verse, verse 10, God says, "I, the Lord, search the hearts. I test the mind. I know it." Who knows what you are thinking? You do. Okay, I trust you do. Who knows the spirit of man but the spirit of man that is within him? You know, who knows the mind of the man? Who knows the mind of God but the spirit of God within him? You know, God knows God, man knows man, but God knows man. God is the searcher of the hearts. Samuel, that dear man of God, went forth to David's home, Jesse's home, to anoint a new king. And when he saw the firstborn son, he said, "Surely this is the one. He looks just right." And God had to say to Samuel, "Samuel, you're looking at the outward. I look at the heart. He's rejected." He says, "I have a man after my own heart. His name is David. He's the one I want you to anoint." Are you a man or woman, a young person after God's heart? He's the searcher of the heart. And there's no words that are necessary because the Father understands and agrees with what the Spirit is thinking. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are always working together in all things, even when we're praying. And the Holy Spirit is helping us. And it says here that He intercedes for the saints. Are you a saint? If you're not a saint, He's not interceding for you. Can anyone just pray and the Holy Spirit intercedes for them? No, just the saints. Say, "Well, I'll never make it." We're not talking about humanly thinking of saints. We're talking about God's thinking about saints. Anyone who is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is considered a saint. It's not based upon your performance, it's based upon Christ's performance and what He's doing in your life. And He hears His children. We are the children of God. That's what it said. We have become the sons of God and we can cry out, "Abba, Father." Okay? We've been adopted into the family of God. We are now saints. He hears the cry of His children. He doesn't hear the cry of the unbeliever. If you're here today and you're an unbeliever, God doesn't listen to your prayer. It's amazing how something comes up. Everybody's always saying, you're in our prayers. Well, if they're unbelievers, God's not even listening to their prayers. Although we should never be so callous as to say that to someone, but we should say, you know, God listens to the prayer of the saints. Are you one of the saints? Instead of just saying, "Well, God's not listening to your prayer." But we can ask them if they're one of the saints. It says here, the Spirit intercedes for the saints. And he intercedes according to God's will. Always in perfect accordance. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are perfect agreement, perfect oneness, and everything about them. And so when the Holy Spirit is interceding for us, just like when Jesus is interceding for us, it's always perfectly according to the will of God. And we praise God that. Well, what can we learn then about prayer? Well, the mystery of prayer. Why pray at all? Why pray at all? God knows everything. He's going to do everything. Why pray at all? Well, first and foremost, because he told us to pray. Isn't that enough right there? If God says pray, then we ought to pray. God says in the Old Testament, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you and you'll glorify me. The New Testament says, pray without ceasing. Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed often. He taught his disciples how to pray. And by the way, we then need to know how to pray. We need to realize that we have access to the Father through Jesus Christ the Son because we're believers. And especially as we confess our sin before him and come to him. I also want to remind you, though, that prayer includes reasoning. You don't just pray with the groanings of your heart. You do pray also with your mind. You think. Paul was thinking, Lord, I need this thorn in the flesh removed. He just wasn't thinking accurately because God wasn't going to remove it. He should have been praying, Lord, give me the grace to overcome this. The strength to endure this. Help me to count it all joy, like James said, when I'm encountering these trials, to be an overcomer. And of course, there's different kinds of prayers that we pray. How many different kinds of prayers are there? Probably more than you think. There's adoration. Do you ever adore God? Just spend time adoring God. Giving him praise. Giving him thanksgiving. Oh Lord, our Lord. I'm going to magnify your name. I praise your holy name. I praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness. I am so thankful. The psalmist said, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, because his mercies endure forever. There's also spiritual requests. Lord, help me to know what to advance your kingdom. How can I be of help in advancing your kingdom today? Well, the answer, of course, is to be an obedient child of God. You'll be doing your part. You'll be fulfilling the works God wants you to do. Submitted to the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life. A third kind is pleading the promises. Do you ever plead the promises of God? God, this is what your word said. This is your promise. One of the people considered a person who really prayed was George Mueller. George Mueller would get down on his knees in prayer and he wouldn't say anything for a while. And by the way, if I remember correctly, he always read the scripture first so he knew what God was talking about before he came to talk to God. He wanted to hear from God first out of his word. But then he would kneel in prayer and he would just wait until he could get all those other distracting thoughts out of his mind and realize that he was really in the presence of God. He didn't want to just be talking. He wanted to sense God's presence with him. And then he would bring the promises of God before him and ask for him to fulfill those promises. And we all know the story of how God used him eventually to feed 4,000 orphans every day just by praying and trusting God. Then there's personal requests. Don't you make personal requests ever to God? Say, God, I really need this. You know, by the way, I think that maybe this is the most dangerous prayer there is. Be careful what you ask for. God might give it to you. And you might realize later that you never wanted that because it came along with other things. Okay? So be careful what you ask for. There's other aspects of praying. There's confessing your sin and so on. There's various kinds of praying. One of the prayers that was answered most quickly in Scripture was a three-word prayer, Lord, save me, when Peter was walking on the water and began to sink, and God answered his prayer and lifted him back up. God wants us to cry out to him in time of need. God wants us to seek after him. Another question for ourselves, that when we come to God in prayer, are we submitted totally to God? So that we're not demanding anything from God. There's no name it and claim it. But it's making a request of a loving Father, trusting in his what? Wise bestowment, as the song says. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment. And not anything foolish that I ask for. And then there's times to really just admit that you don't know what to pray. The disciples went to Jesus and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus said, pray this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. And so on. By the way, that's what I'll be preaching on this afternoon. Prayer is never demanding. Prayer is submitting to God. Dr. Lloyd-Jones said that claiming or demanding is presumptuous and dangerous. He said, do not claim, do not demand, let your requests be made known, let them come from your heart, God will understand. We have no right to demand even revival. He said, some Christians are tending to do that at the present time. We have no right to make any demands of God. Pray urgently. Plead. Use all the arguments. Use all the promises. But do not demand and do not claim. Never put yourself in the position of saying, if we do but this, this must happen. God is sovereign. These things are beyond our understanding. He said, never let the terminology of claiming or of demanding be used. When you pray, humble yourselves before God. Acknowledge that He is God and you are His child, and that you're just seeking Him and you want what He wants for you. He'll answer your prayers according to his perfect will, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Praise God for that. Let's bow together in prayer and prepare our hearts for the communion service. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word to us today. Oh, the importance of praying. It's like breathing for us. It's very important that we commune with you. But Lord, we don't know how to pray as we ought. We agree with your scripture. We fail so often. Forgive us. But help us to realize that the Holy Spirit is interceding for us if we're praying from the heart. That Jesus Christ is interceding. And that you are waiting to pour out blessings as we totally submit ourselves to you. So, Lord, help us to be totally submitted to you and trust in you. We praise you and thank you. And now, Father, prepare our hearts to, again, just focus upon what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us in going to the cross. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.